You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
And of course, we're going to shed some light on being a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called education. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course, I call that motivation.
Lean in. Listen up.
OMG, OMG, OMG. Welcome to OMG, the Mara Gale radio show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, and evangelist. And you know what I love to do, folks. I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened and when views are enlarged. You see, the more angles you have to a situation, the better the vantage point so that you can make informed decisions. And today's show is going to feature conversations, tips, and nuggets of information on how to remain holy in Hollywood. I don't know if you heard me, but how to remain holy in Hollywood. I'm super excited because I've got an anointed guest tonight. Her name is Raina Joy Banks, and I'm going to bring her on the call in a few moments. I'm going to bring her on the line so that my listeners' ears can tingle at the words that our daddy has put in her spirit. But I want to just shed a little light on how challenging it can be to walk this walk while we're in Hollywood. See, sometimes we go into the industry looking for fame or looking for fortune, but when you go into the industry and it's designed out of a call on your heart, when it's choreographed by God, it ends up taking you to a destination that you could not have asked for or fathomed. And this young woman started out on a journey choreographing for a secular industry. She's worked with the likes of Beyonce, Neo. She's worked with Michelle Williams. She's worked with Molly Music. She's worked with Dedrick Haddon. She has been blessed to go from a secular field into the Christian field, and she seamlessly weaves back and forth, but never losing the light and the love of the Lord. And so I believe he has positioned her in this industry, the darkness of the industry, in order to be a great light. I was blessed to meet her through a mutual friend when we were actually holding a competition for actors, teaching them monologues and coaching them on monologues and choosing the winners and the recipients of an award. And we, our spirit, was knitted at that meeting. We sat at a table next to each other, and we had so many OMG moments until to this day. I love her like a sister. I love her as if I've known her for 10 or 15 years. She's a powerhouse who's not only an anointed choreographer, she's also a content creator, she's a producer, and she's the CEO of her own organization, For His Glory, and she happens to be a preacher of the Word of God. And I got a chance to witness her ministering when she was on one of her drive-bys in Atlanta, ministering at a church, and she blessed my soul and everyone in that house's soul. So if my virtual audience and my listeners would be so kind, in your virtual imagination, put your hands together and welcome to the line a conversation choreographed by Christ with none other than my friend Raina Joy Banks. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much, Mara, for having me. Oh, this is a blessing. I'm so excited. Thank you for that intro. That was awesome.
Oh,
God is so good.
I am so excited excited that you're going to be on this line and sharing a little bit of your life with the listeners. I want to start off by just asking you to share a little bit about your background, how you got started in the industry, and then I'm going to navigate us on to some testimony things and some powerhouse moments of how there were nobody but God moments that helped you get through it all.
Absolutely, yeah. So I actually started as a track runner first when I was a little girl. Fell in love with track coming out of being born with club feet, which said no to everything that I've done in my life, and that's a testimony in itself. But then I saw dance, and something pulled me towards it. So in the midst of being a track star, I began to dance, and I fell in love with it. I was a mute when I was a kid, so something about dancing gave me my voice that I didn't even know that I had. And I began to not only express myself through it, but God ended up using it for His glory, of course. I started at 13, traveling all over the place, being asked to minister and dance to God who names it, like all over the United States, different churches, conferences, weddings, all these different things. And I didn't know that that was what was going to come from it. But then at 17 years old, I stepped into the mainstream while still doing faith. Of course, I started dancing at Loveland Church. Actually, that's where kind of the momentum came as a dancer for Christ. And then I booked Usher without even auditioning at 17 years old. My sister was on a set talking with some friends and was like, yeah, my sister dances, da-da-da. And here, next thing you know, I get a phone call, and I'm booked dancing for Usher for the Yeah album. And that's literally how the journey began. I didn't ask for it. I actually did not ask for a career in the entertainment. I didn't ask for to dance for the Grace. I didn't ask for any of it. But what I did do is I chose to sacrifice my entire life to serving God, and knowing that I was never going to be the fullness of who I was called to be without Him, and I was willing to surrender and submit to whatever that looked like, and it just happened to fall in love with something that I happened to be really good at that I knew only because it came from God, since the doctor said that I was never supposed to be able to even walk. So it's almost as if me being a good steward of what He gave me by using it for His glory first, then He began to literally spread open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings bigger than I had room to receive. And that's pretty much what the journey has been, with injuries, of course, different things that went on throughout my life because of my feet being born the way that they were. But I counted it all joy, and humility was the key through it all, and that's how I've become this name, this household name for the kingdom of God to this day.
What an awesome, awesome, awesome story. I'm going to go and unpack a little bit of what you said so that we can make sure that our listeners understand what it was like. I believe you used the word mute. I believe you used the word that it was a challenge for you to hear, obviously. Can you share a little bit about what that was like? Was it a medical diagnosis that prohibited you from listening or hearing, I should say?
Well, so it wasn't hearing. It was I was a mute, meaning I didn't speak much. I didn't speak to anyone but my mom, pretty much. It was like I was this kid who was very spiritually gifted in the kingdom, and I didn't quite understand all my spiritual gifts. And so I was very to myself, meaning I could hear fine. Actually, great hearing. I used to get in trouble for not listening. But it was that. It was that I was so, to keep it in a humble way, I was so spiritually gifted with gifts of healing, with gifts of speaking, prophesying from a young age, that I didn't speak much to people in general. I would hug people, I would give to the homeless, but I would only talk to my mom. And so what happened through that, what people perceived that to be was arrogance and cockiness. And I wasn't an arrogant kid. I wasn't cocky. I just was very subtle with what I said when I said it, because I was carrying these gifts that I didn't quite understand. So that's what I mean by mute. And my mom cultivated me in that. But as soon as I started dancing, it was as if it gave me my voice, meaning I felt more comfortable in all of my gifts as soon as I started using movement to express myself. And then I began to be more open, speak more, love, and now you can't stop talking. I'm known as a person of joy that brings joy into everybody's room. I don't know when it happened or when the change came, but I knew that I didn't want to be perceived as something that I wasn't, so I worked overtime in trying to make sure I loved on everybody that came across with the sound of my voice and giving exaltation and encouraging others at all costs.
Awesome. Thank you for clarifying that for me. And yes, now it makes more sense. That's okay. It's as if you held back on speaking, like you said, because you didn't understand the gift and then that you would only pretty much talk to your mom, but then once you understood it, it was as if your mouth was opened again. Not that it was medically closed. It was just that you didn't speak very much to people. Wow, what an interesting story, Raina. I would like to know, because I've experienced the anointing on your life. I've watched Daddy's spirit rest on your tongue. I'd like to find out some of the celebrities that you've worked with, because unfortunately and or fortunately, sometimes, even though in the Christian world we should not be a respecter of persons, I would like to allow our listeners, so that they would really tune in, lean in, and listen up, to know some of the headline acts and things that you've done. I mean, you've collaborated with some of the greats in the industry and award shows. So can you share a little bit of that information with our listeners, so that when I begin to ask these questions, we're going to definitely have them tune in, lean in, and listen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, I started out with Usher. Then I went away to college and at Cal State University Fullerton. And during that time, I ended up signing with an agency, but only because God said, as long as you don't put school on the back burner, I'll allow you to get into this agency. And so that's what I did. I ended up signing, and I still kept my college degree a priority, which I ended up getting my degree in dance and radio, TV, and film for 4 years. And during that time, I was booking films. I was booking so much. And I had to turn a lot of things down, huge jobs down, because I made a promise to God. So I would do a commercial here or there. I would do a print campaign. I would do industrials, like, you know, live shows, a one-day type of thing, and then, you know, be back at school or whatever. But it cost me, you know, to make sure that I made school a priority. And through that, once I graduated, it was as if, because I kept the word that I gave God in the midst of Him opening up such an amazing door, my career began to take off. I ended up dancing for Disney. It was the first Princess Tiana for El Capitan on that stage. I ended up doing Toni Braxton, Justin Bieber. I was back with Usher for a little bit, then went to Justin Bieber, then went to Toni Braxton, then was still doing industrial, different things at that time. Leave It on the Floor with Frank Gaston's movie, A Beautiful Soul, with Dietrich Haddon. I choreographed that film, creative directed that film, cast the dancers, all of the above. I started on that film actually as an actress first, and then ended up being hired as a choreographer when Dietrich had found out that I actually choreographed. He's like, wait a second, what's going on? And so Lorianne was actually supposed to be in that role, and then instead of hiring Lorianne Gibson, they ended up hiring me, which was insane because Lorianne is someone that I worked with in the past and that I looked up to so much, and I was like, whoa, this is nuts, you know? So in that process, I then ended up I've done BET Awards with BBD and Neo, Belle Biv and Neo, Ricky Bell, and then those are my brothers, they're my world. For I've done the Oscars, I've done Billboard Awards. I was one of Beyonce's lead dancers for the Run the World Billboard performance, the one that everyone still talks about to this day with like the hundreds of girls, but I was a lead, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I wasn't in the craziness. And then I was on the road with her for a while, for a few months, while she's in the middle of her pregnancy. Shaka Khan was the year after Beyonce, and that was when my injuries, my legs started really going out on me even more from the whole club foot and just all the years of dancing and not supposed to be able to do that in the eyes of the doctors. So I went through seasons of, I've hit pretty much almost every stage. And I was touring with Shaka Khan for a season as well, which is 2012. So it's been It's been amazing. Kiara Sheard, Trumpet Blows. I could go through Dr. Holly Carter. She's been such a good supporter of my career, and Molly Music, Michelle Williams, through, you know, Harmony Samuels, with the producer of Say Yes, and I did choreography for that project with a couple of our other FHG dancers and another production company of dancers. And so it's been great. Now that I'm talking about, sometimes I forget how much God has done.
But you know what, Raina, as I'm listening to Daddy's Daughter's resume, I'm just going, yes, Lord. But that's what he'll do. First of all, Proverbs 18:16 talks about a man's gift making room for him and putting him before great people. And that's what he'll do. But the second aspect of this, and this is what I want people who are actually in the industry, endeavoring to be in the industry or dabbling in the industry to know, you have to first be faithful over what he has given you command over. Be faithful over the little. Be faithful over the schooling. Be faithful. You were faithful in going to school. It was hard, but you made it a priority. You were focused on giving God the glory in your life, and therefore he was able to open up these doors so that other people could not only be blessed by your talent, but because I personally know you, blessed by the words of wisdom that rest in your mouth. I'm so excited for our listeners to tune in, lean in, and listen up. I know there's some people probably on the line that want to ask some questions or comments, so I'm going to share the number before we go to our break. The phone number is 347-324-5246. Again, the phone number is 347-324-5246. To join the conversation, you'll press 1. Of course, my name is Mara Gale. You're listening to the OMG, which is Mara Gale Radio Show with my special guest, Raina Joy 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 Banks. We'll be right back after we take a quick pause, radio station commercial break.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn. Less stuff, more meaningful life. And an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up2magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Welcome back to OMG. I'm your host, Mara Gale, and we've got a special guest on the call. We've got Raina Joy Banks, and I've got a question for you callers. Have you ever struggled with a role or an opportunity because you thought God wouldn't be pleased? You see, Raina, I've had that question come to me. I've actually mentored multiple people in the industry about that one question. They're vacillating between, should I audition for that show? I have to curse. Should I be in this show? I may have to, you know, wear something scanty. I may have to do something that I wouldn't personally do. So that's a big question on the minds of some of our listeners. So before I ask you to answer that question, I'm posing it to our listeners, and I want you to call in if you've had that question. That's 347-324-5246. Press 1. And the question I'm going to have you answer or share with our audience, Raina, is your focus. Share with our audience, our listeners, how you remain focused in this industry that can have you scattered in so many different directions and have you looking at the light instead of the person who actually is the light.
So for me, I'll tell you in transparency and truth is what kept me focused was literally realizing that I am nothing without God. I'm nothing without him. And keeping that in my forefront of my mind every single day that I woke up and went to sleep, no matter what set I was on, no matter what job I was doing, that's what kept me centered. That's what kept me in the space of being able to be a light and not growing into that place of darkness with a lot of others that were around me, you know, on a lot of jobs. A lot of people were willing to compromise. A lot of people were willing to, you know, put their morals aside just to take that next big gig or just to get fame, you know. And for me, it wasn't about fame. That's the whole thing. My focus was, okay, God, if this is what you're going to use to open up doors for my life, my career, and even be provision for my destiny and my calling, then I'm going to make sure that I use every bit of my time and every bit of my open doors to make sure I make your name even greater to people that may not have ever even wanted anything to do with you before. And that was the point. My focus was, how many more people can I share the love of God with that I may have never even come in contact with if I wasn't given these opportunities? Because sometimes we only have one chance, we only have one day. I've had situations where I've literally called someone in obedience to God, and it's right before they're about to commit suicide, right before. So it's things like that where you don't know that that step that you're going to be on with those people, you don't know if that's the last chance that you're going to have to literally be in their presence. It may be your first time seeing them, or maybe a fifth time you've done a job with them, but you don't know if you're going to see them again. So it's being sensitive to making sure your focus isn't about, your focus isn't even the job. Your focus is your assignment while you're on the job. And
yes,
that's literally centered. It kept me sound. It kept me strong. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've definitely had mishaps, and I've had, seasons where I was either mentally and emotionally a wreck because it was so much weight. When you choose to be light, it doesn't make it easier. It actually makes it harder because you're in a space where a lot of times you may be the only light, or there's two or three of you out of, like, 50,000 of you, you know?
Yes.
And so you carry a weight of those 50,000 or a million or a trillion or whatever. You carry the weight of that when you choose to say yes to God and no to hell. You're always, there's always going to be some type of weight, but it's a matter of you not allowing yourself to be burdened by that weight, but allowing God to take it from you. So as you take it from others, God takes it from you. As you take it from others, God takes it from you. And that was the focus. The focus was, when I go on this set today, who can I help not only introduce to God, but love on them in a way that they've never been loved on before, but also take something from them that they didn't even know that they were carrying and give it to God and allow them to be free again. That was the focus.
Love it. I love it. You know, I used to tell people often, I loved all those nuggets. I used to tell people often when I was doing different TV shows back in the day, ABC and NBC, I would tell them, it wasn't that my talent was greater than anybody else's. It was that Daddy knew he could trust me on a set. I used to actually invite the extras into my trailers so that we could do Bible study on the break.
Come on.
Now, that may seem unorthodox, but I knew that Daddy was opening up doors because he knew that he could trust me on the set to not have to smooth and try to get with anybody in any particular elevated position.
Absolutely.
But because I knew that extras wanted to see inside my trailer, I was like, if you come in my trailer, I study the word. And they would come in and the PA would come and get them from the trailer. So I totally understand why Daddy has allowed you to rub elbows and be friends with some of the stars that are common names to people in movies, from Megan Good to Pastor, all the different people, because you can be trusted, Raina Joy.
Amen.
You can be trusted. And while we're on being trusted, you launched For His Glory. And I remember when you were actually facilitating a summer camp at a different place, which was just a small nugget of some of the bigger things that you've done. But when you launched For His Glory, you didn't just launch it so that a small core group of people would learn to dance, but you launched it so that people could launch out in the industry. Can you share a little bit about For His Glory and God's will for His Glory?
Yeah, absolutely. For His Glory Entertainment, FHG Entertainment, is literally to cover, cultivate, connect, and catapult artists in all areas of the arts and entertainment. So whether if you are in film, television, if you're an actress, dancer, singer, writer, producer, speaker, author, you name it, anything, executive producers, whatever you do, a writer, whatever you do in the entertainment, our job is to help connect you, to cultivate you, to cover you, cultivate you, connect you, and catapult you. And that's what's been happening. I, how it all kind of started was when I decided that I was kind of taking a break from dance because I was just kind of overwhelmed with the career of it and with the weight of it. I got to a tired season. I didn't. Everyone gets there, but I got to an exhausted season. I was like, God, what can I do to still use this gift but invest in the legends that are coming up after us? So building a legacy behind me. So whether if I ever decided to dance again or not, what could stand, whether if I lived today or tomorrow or died, you know, a year from now, what could stand in the midst of still it being for God's glory, but building up people and still dancing and still giving that. So in the midst of being a choreographer, creative director, and artist developer, what I did is I took myself on the road. I paid for my own tour and went to different locations. I believe I hit 7 states and like 10 cities, and then like overseas, Botswana, Gaborone, Botswana, South Africa. And I literally, God said, teach what you've learned, pour into the generations behind you. And even some people the same age as me that hadn't had the opportunity that I had, pour into them all that you've learned so that they can spring forth and literally begin to build their careers. And so that's how FHC technically started. It started off with a Dance to Live tour. And I would only charge a small registration fee online, and I would literally show up. My managers at that time really helped me. Belle Bronfield and April Monique, they literally helped me with location scouting, all of the above. I would pay out of pocket, rent dance studios, and then even do locations in those cities, go to schools and all that leading up to the weekend of, and literally pour out the art of dance. But with the presence of God, so I did Dance to Live, which is L-I-V-V-V, means it lives on and it never dies. But it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So it's giving them God without throwing religion at them. So people would be signing up and not even knowing that it was a faith thing, but they just wanted to do it because of my resume and my accolades. But then when they got there, then they got Jesus. So sometimes I didn't even have to say his name. They would end up bringing him up, because the love that was being released and the words of wisdom and power and the anointing that was on it, that was from God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it literally awakened people in the room. I mean, people would break down in tears in the middle of dancing. They would begin to cry. They begin to get set free from one person moving to the next person moving. And what happened was, just to give a little brief about that workshop, is that I would always say, I don't want to know how great you can dance. I already know you're a great dancer. That's why you're here. I don't want you to show out for me to try to book the next job. I'm already moving things around to open up doors for all of you. What I want you to do is I want you to dance with a purpose. And I said, otherwise, I don't need you to dance at all. You can sit and watch. Mm. And literally, in my purpose was the same way. If you don't have a purpose of why you're moving, then you don't need to be doing this job right now with me. You can sit down and watch until you have a reason why you're moving, so you have a reason why you're getting up. Because dance is not meant for just us. Dance is meant for deliverance, freedom. It's a universal language without even saying a word, where everybody can be affected in the room all at the same time in the same way and getting delivered and set free. So I would tell the dancers on this tour, I would say, your focus this whole entire class is one, what are you fighting for or who are you fighting for? The second thing would be, these are their focuses. The second thing would be, what has fear been keeping you from? And the third thing would be, is when you leave here today, what are you going to do about it to conquer that fear and to literally do what God has been telling you to do? And so that would be their focus. So as they were dancing the entire class, they were literally breaking the chains off of those. And then they would share at the end of these masterclass and workshops, no matter where we were, what state, what city, what school, did not matter. They would literally share their testimony about what happened while they were dancing, the choreography that I was giving them, or just throughout the whole class. And I'm telling you, these moments were kingdom groundbreaking moments, even unsaved people. Some people got saved at the end, and some people still didn't, but that seed was planted. And all through the art of dance. But because sometimes we have to realize that it's not about us. It's about how God can use us. So with these accolades, God, what else do you want me to do? I want to take a break right now, but what else do you want me to do? I want to rest right now, but what else is there for me to do? And that's how Dance to Live came out. That's how For His Glory was birthed, through Dance to Live. And that's how now people, I mean, last year alone, we booked hundreds of people on DOS last year, hundreds of people. We're not an agency. I do manage talent, like artists, recording artists, a little bit of a small roster. But we're literally just about blessing people. And that's what's been happening. I'm talking about dancers that didn't have rent. And God will put them on my heart to call them and say, hey, are you available for this job, this music video, this film, whatever, this show? Yeah, I'm available. Great, perfect, you're booked. They're like, what? And then the testimony will be, Raina, I didn't have rent. And this was even a little bit more than what I needed left to pay my rent. So that's what For His Glory is about.
It's about God's kids being catapulted in their dreams, but no more struggling. He says exceedingly abundantly, far above what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. If we're not experiencing the exceedingly abundantly and far above what we could ever ask, think, or imagine, then what are we not doing? And that's what FHG is, to be the answer for God's people, and even people that aren't saved, but to be the answer, to release the sound of God's love, for them to work their dreams, work their vision, work those destiny babies inside of them so that they never have to struggle a day in their life ever again.
Hallelujah, girl. I want to pass the virtual collection plate and just donate into For His Glory in You. But, you know, this, I'm so glad that our listeners get an opportunity to eavesdrop on this powerhouse, because you're not just dropping something you've read, something you've heard about, something that someone else has experienced. You're actually telling people the blueprint, the key, the actually keys to do kingdom business, but more importantly, to leave legacy, which is the awesome part of it, because you could totally stay anointed, stay blessed, continue to be booked, stay in your comfort zone. But you said, no, I want to try to set up something so that other artists can grow, so that other artists can have a struggle-free life, so that other, meaning financially, so that other artists who have talent, who just may not have been seen, who may be in a season of drought or lack, and you just call them up. Who doesn't like that phone call when a friend who knows your talent, knows your gift, or knows where you're anointed will call you up and offer you a job that you don't have to audition for? Can I get an amen to that?
Jesus. Oh,
hallelujah.
Glory, Raina, I knew
that my listeners needed to hear what was inside of you, because your package is so precious. You are such a, I could go on and on about the vessel, Raina Joy, because you are anointed for this season. You are anointed for these people. But there are some struggles, you know, that I want them to know that it didn't come with all roses. It didn't come with Casablanca lilies. It didn't come with a nice cush bed with feather pillows. It came with some struggles. And in this last season, in the last, I'd say about a year or so ago, maybe a little less, you went through a battle. And the devil, the enemy, and I call it the enemy because he knew that you were a powerhouse, and he thought if he could dim your light, if he could mute your praise, if he could stifle your dance, then he would have you. But you decided to turn to the word, and when you came back not just anointed, not just even more full, but you came back a preacher. You went into the dark dungeon and came out a preacher. So why don't you share with our audience, because I've been watching you, baby. I got a front row seat in your life. I've been watching you, and I've been waiting for the moment, the opportunity to enlighten our audience on some of the things you've lived through. So share with our audience this most recent struggle and how the devil attempted to derail you from your destiny.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So I'm over here really emotional right now, by the way.
Praise God.
This is amazing. God is so purposeful, and he's so perfect in all his ways. And last year was probably the hardest year of my entire 30 years of life. I worked a lot entertainment-wise. I was executive producing a lot of things too as well, financially helping, you know, other people's visions and dreams, but just giving so much of myself to the fullest extent that I possibly could to make sure that people's visions were coming alive. And I kind of overlooked myself in certain moments and wasn't listening to my body and what Raina needed, because often, and we all know this, and I know you know this, in ministry, I'm not a mom yet and a wife yet, but I do know just from my mom and other women and yourself, and especially women that are called to ministry, that even pastoring or preaching or evangelizing or, you know, apostles, whatever, prophets alone, you know, that we, a lot of times, we're bearing so much fruit for the kingdom of God that we forget that we need our nutrients too, and that we need our rest too, and that we need our me time too. And what we do often, and what I was guilty of, is I was guilty of, completely aside, what Raina needed and what God needed Raina to do for Raina, and ignored everything. I ignored everything. Every little sign that was saying, okay, something's not right with your health right now. Every little sign was
that's saying, like, hey, you're in pain. That situation hurt you. Let's acknowledge this. Let's deal with this. Like, hey, yo, like, you know, okay, friends are acting up. Like, Raina, you know, breathe. But, hey, acknowledge that you're hurt. And so my whole life, I've always lived in this space of I don't have time to deal with what doesn't make me happy or what has hurt me. What I only have time for is God, use me for your glory. So where that becomes an issue is even Jesus had rest. And Jesus was the Son of God. And if he was the Son of God of pure perfection and he even rested, then what in the world do I think I need to be doing, right? And I'm not Jesus whatsoever. I'm not even close to, you know, our Savior. And so I was being disobedient. And technically, that's a sin. So I was living a moment of sin in a very indirect way last year, which was by not being obedient to when God says, sit down. Submit. I would not stop. I would not sit. I would not submit. And so throughout the process throughout being used in a mighty way, I was preaching so much last year because I had kind of walked away from that gift for a season because that gift had cost me relationships. And by relationships, I mean like future marriage-type relationships. And I kind of was willing in a roundabout way to put down a gift that God had given me so that I could have what I felt was my promise, which is to be a wife and to be married, but not knowing that when it's the right one, it won't cost you that. And so I kind of stopped preaching for a while, and last year God was like, it's not about you. I need you to say yes to this because there are millions that you are assigned to that I have a word through you to deliver to them. And so I began preaching often last year, but I was still sewing in the entertainment a lot and, you know, and all those things at FHG. But what happened was I began to have a health issue starting February of 2016. And I didn't know that it was a health issue because I just thought maybe it's something that happens when you're turning 30. You know, I didn't know. And so I was like, okay, body's just changing, whatever. And so, you know, and for those, and not to go into full detail, it was kind of like, but I did, as those that are listening, I had a breast cancer scare last year. And so in May, after my women's conference, I put on my first women's conference. I preached it so many throughout my life, but I did not ever put one on my own on that God was calling me to do. He called me to do a book tour, actually. And what I did in fear of not wanting to do a book tour, I, you know, decided to submit to someone else's idea and vision and do a women's conference instead, which ended up being amazing and groundbreaking, but there was a lot of weight that came with it because I feel like in fear I didn't do what I was actually supposed to do, but God still grace covered it and blessed it with it being the conference itself. And so through that, I was leaving that conference after a huge deliverance situation with a bunch of people that had came to the conference, but a lot of my staff wasn't equipped for the spiritual warfare. So I was carrying more of that than what I should have, and my body kind of got attacked. I ended up in emergency the next day with this situation that I was dealing with in my left, you know, area. I ended up in emergency the next day because it was like three times the size of its normal. And then the other side point was like, oh, maybe it's just stress. Maybe it's just that I was trying to figure out every excuse I could possibly figure out in order to just keep going, keep pushing. And and so what happened is I ended up going back on the road. I ended up booking more dance jobs. I ended up booking more people on jobs, working jobs, doing this, traveling. And then come September 16th, it was like I couldn't ignore it anymore. And the midst of so many other things that were going on in my life, last year was more of a year of pain and a lot of growing pains, but also spiritual attacks and also people attacks, you know, being mistreated, certain things, people kind of almost taking your heart and your gifts for granted, whether it was intentional or unintentional, right? And I still kept giving, and that's what I tend to do. I keep giving even in pain. And so I, September 16th, it was at that point where I literally said to God, I said, my thing to him was always, I would always say this to the Lord, I said, God, Jesus, don't come back yet until FHG catapulting everybody in their destiny, and no, none of your kids are struggling. None of your kids are struggling at all in their gifts or in life financially. And then married, and then I'd be a wife and have a child, at least one child. And I want two. but at least one child. Like, Jesus, don't come back until then, right? I would always say that to him. And on this day, I know, it's crazy. On this day, September 16, 2016, I was on the phone with one of my former friends. It was a great friend in my life. And then my spiritual mom had called as well. And she said, baby, I know that you want to take care of everybody and try to help everybody and book everybody on this and da-da-da. She's like, but guess what? You won't even be here to do that anymore if you don't stop and take care of you. She's like, this is serious. Something's going on with your body and you're ignoring it. And literally, and then when I got the next phone call from a former friend, at that time we were friends, and so and I literally said, you know, for the first time in my life, I literally just said to God today, Lord, I'm ready when you are. It wasn't, Lord, let it be when FHG is catapulting everybody. Oh, when I'm a wife and I have at least one kid. It wasn't that anymore. God, I'm tired. I'm ready when you are. And that is when it got real to me. And as soon as I said that, that area actually began to bleed. And then the doctors called out of nowhere. The doctors called that same
day.
And I got off the phone with those two people. And they said, hey, Ms. Banks, you know, you missed your appointment. I was like, what appointment? They're like, you had two appointments, one in August and one in July. And I was like, what? And I was like, I didn't know. And I was like, well, I was on the road, so I don't know. Did you guys call? They're like, well, I was like, they're like, we tried to get a hold of you. I'm like, what? And so
wow.
I was like, okay. I was like, well, it's crazy because it literally just started bleeding. They're like, excuse me? And I was like, yeah, it just started bleeding. They're like, we need you in immediately. Can you please come in on Monday? Da, da, da. And literally that's when the journey started. In the midst of that journey, I was still traveling and dancing because I have to work. You know, that's my way of income. I train artists and I perform or I choreograph, create or whatever. And so I was in the middle of that. They were setting my appointments in the middle of my traveling date. So I would go on the road, come back, dock, go on the road, come back. They expedited everything.
My God.
On top of that, in that season of my life, because I was executive producing so much and giving out so much financially, I hadn't had a regular health insurance. So because of the Obama insurance, medical insurance, that's what actually saved my life.
Wow.
They did everything for free, everything. And they rush ordered everything. What most of the time takes almost 6 months for a woman to get handled and deal with, it literally took September, it bled. October, I had a surgical biopsy. Got the results back a week later. At that point, they let me know that it was not cancerous, but they needed to remove the mass completely. And mind you, in that moment, God said to me, if you would not have let go of the people that I told you to let go of and released yourself from giving so much of yourself to certain individuals that were not even ready to receive the magnitude of the blessing that I put in you to get, it would have been what the enemy wanted it to be, which was cancer. He said, but you were obedient. You were obedient. And God won't put anything on us, but He will allow things to come and allow things to happen in the midst of life to make, yes, our testimony greater and allow Him to show His miraculous self, which is a healer and a deliverer. But He won't put it on us. He didn't give me cancer. But He would allow that part of the enemy, what the enemy desired, He would allow that portion to come to pass if I was not obedient, because what was going on in my life was literally making me sick. It was causing an infection in my body because I was giving to certain levels and to certain people past what God had given me permission to. And it became an infection in my life in the midst of being pain and wounded through those situations. It became an infection because I wouldn't deal with what was going on and I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't let go. I was like, no, God, no, I want to serve. I want to help. I want to da-da-da. I believe you, Lord. I believe you. I believe in what you said. I believe da-da-da-da. And God was like, enough. Let it go.
But you know, I'm listening to you, and there's so many nuggets that I could unpack and that I could dissect so that everybody here, because you've said a couple of things that were just, it's a wake-up call for anybody listening right now. The reality is, if we don't take care of ourselves, we will be in no position to take care of anybody else or to take care of God's business. So all that we're attempting to do to give God the glory, and He's like, hello, you won't even be around to do that if you don't press pause, because even Jesus Himself
rested. And Raina, you've said so many wonderful things. We've got the phones are lighting up, and I want to take at least one caller.
Absolutely.
If the caller with the last four digits are 6553, if you will go ahead and announce yourself and come on the call, we'd love to have you either ask Raina a question or myself or make a comment.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Khadija Copeland.
Khadija Copeland, welcome to the call, Khadija. This is like my I call her my little mentee, my little sister. Met her when I was actually going to direct for Color Girls. Khadija's a dancer and an actress. Khadija, welcome to the call. Say hello to Raina Joy.
Raina, how are you?
I am blessed. How are you, dear?
I can't complain. God is great. I just want to say thank you for this conversation because it's so important. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, we forget to take care of ourselves. Like, I know I forget myself all the time. And just to hear your testimony is amazing because it reminds me. You know, it reminds me, hey, listen, Jesus did rest. You know?
Yeah, he did.
It's so important to do that, and we always forget because we want to be superwoman all the time. And it's like sometimes we got to pull back and allow God to do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And allow him to allow – because, you know, our bodies will sit us down. You know,
if
we don't
sit
down, our bodies will sit us down. So I thank you for that. That has blessed me. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Yes. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Khadija. So appreciate you tuning in and so appreciate you giving a comment. Thank you so much for that.
Amen.
We love you.
Love you, too.
And Raina, that's it. See, your story, your testimony, your light, as you well know, is never about you, never just for you.
No.
It's so that someone else can be obedient to a fault, that they won't have to endure some health sickness, health challenge, that they won't have to endure some setback, even though God will take what the enemy meant for bad and turn it into something good and work it out in our favor. The reality is, if we would be obedient and even the small things, because it's the little foxes that actually spoil the whole deal. So I'm grateful to hear that you got on track with Daddy to the point that you realized all that you were doing for God and giving him glory wasn't more important than you taking the rest that he was trying to get in your ear and saying, hey, you're taking care of my children, but I need you to take care of me. So I bless God for that. We're going to take a short pause for the cause, and when we come back, I want to ask you one or two final questions, and then we're going to wrap up this segment. But you have been a powerhouse. Our listeners, you're listening to OMG, that's the Omara Gale Radio Show, with my special anointed and talented guest, Raina Joy Banks, and you're also listening to Up To Me Radio. Please follow us at Up To Me Radio on all social media channels with the hashtag Up To Me Radio. We also have Up To Me Magazine, where you can find out about the way you should live your life for Christ. I'm going to take a station identification now, and we'll be right back.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMZ, the Omara Gale Radio Show, with my special guest, Raina Joy Banks. And we've been talking about her focus. We talked about her career, how she got started, the celebrities she's met along the way, and we even touched on her sickness and then her call and her preaching. I'd love to find a little bit about your book, Raina Joy. Your book. You wrote a book, and you're re-releasing, republishing the book. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So, the 30-Day Journey to Loving the Woman in Me was literally a process. It was more than 30 days, obviously. It was about 2.5 years worth of a journey that I had to go on. And it was during a season in my life, a whole deciding on not dancing anymore, kind of letting go of some things, figuring out, you know, how to serve other people versus just keep booking these jobs and da-da-da. And so, but in that space, I knew that there was healing that needed to take place. And as I mentioned before, the relationship thing had taken a toll on my life in the past because having this call to Christ and his kingdom with to preach or the gift of healing or the gift of prophecy or the gift of
you know, being in the entertainment, arts and entertainment, a lot of times men specifically don't know how to handle that level. And I'm not saying all men, but the men that I dealt with in the past didn't know how to handle that level of calling that I had on my life. And so that's kind of where that book stemmed from, was a lot of the pain of feeling like I wasn't enough or that I was too much. And I realized throughout life, ministering to women, preaching at women's conferences, interceding for women, counseling women, all these different things, and men actually often too, ministering to them and counseling them and preaching to them and all these things, I realized that there was a brokenness in both parties, in male and female. At some point, both have seasons where they feel like they're either too much for someone or people, or they're not enough for someone or for people. And that book, that's just the first one. I'm working on a teens one for teenagers, and I'm working on one for kings, for men, that I eventually want to write with my future husband, because it's necessary. The 30-day journey to loving the woman or the teen or the king in you is literally a process that takes you on to where you have to go to the depths of the pain of the things in your life that have wounded you, that you never wanted to deal with, or the things that caused you to become who you become today but was never really identified with who God always called for you to be, but you became this person because it was like a callus over all the other wounds that you've experienced in life. So the book is an empowering book. It's heavy. A lot of people can't get through it right away. Those 30 days could take 3 years or 3 months or 30 days. It depends on the person. And it has a workbook to go with it that takes you through the process. You can't skip any part, though. If you skip a part, you're not doing yourself justice. You're just trying to rush through a process that really can't be rushed. And that's what God taught me through my surgeries, was that in the spirit, he was showing me how it works in the natural. How it works in the natural is the way it works in the spirit. Healing from any type of surgery where God has to go in and cut some things and fix some things, it takes time. And you have to allow God to take his time with you so that it's done right, well, and it's completely finished, that you can go into the next season, you can go into that new relationship or that new job or that new open door and opportunity without putting your pain of the past onto that next new great thing, you know? And I always say, no one deserves what somebody else did to you. No one else deserves that. So the book literally is a journey of awakening women in destiny and purpose, journey of awakening up women to rest, take care of themselves, to put themselves first, at times learn how to be selfless, so that you can make sure that you matter, so that you can do even more work for the kingdom of God, but still have more to give because you're full. You're giving from a full place. So your overflow is what you're supposed to be giving to others, not from an empty place, because then that's when you run dry and you end up how I did, you know, last year or whatever. So it's a book of power. It's a book of encouragement. I've had testimonies of women with physical healing that have taken place literally while reading the book, like physical bodily healing from reading this book. So I am looking to relaunch it. I'm working on some things behind the scenes just because things didn't go the way that they were supposed to with my contract and agreements and different things like that. Not going into detail, but I will be relaunching it. I will be working on the next ones, finishing those up so that we can really push this series out so that men, women, and teens all over the world can literally be set free and catapulted into new levels of destiny and purpose and really being healed and not walking around with masks, but walking around with no mask, the veil taken off, and walking their true identity of who God called for them to be and doing ministry, you know?
Amen, amen, and amen. You know, I love the fact that you're teaching others how to operate from a place of overflow. I have a phrase that I often say. I say, my cup is so full, you can have a sip from my saucer. Because, see, when you're operating in the fullness of what Daddy gives you, somebody should be drinking from what it is that you've got. They should be able to eat from the leftovers of the things that you've done or drink from the saucer, because your cup is overflowing with either the word, with faith, or with testimony. So I thank God for you today, giving the testimony so that other people, because that's the word. That's the word. We will know you by your testimony. And your testimony, of course, will empower and inspire and equip other people. I'd love to be able to allow my tribe, our listeners, if you could just briefly share with us your social media handles as well as your website so that people can follow up with you. I'd love to be able to close out with that, and then I'll end up with a prayer, and I'll share a little information, and we'll take it on home.
Amazing, amazing. Yes, so my website is www.reynajoy, R-E-Y-N-A-J-O-Y.com. The company website is www.fhgentertainment.com. My social media handles, Reyna Joy, at Reyna Joy on Instagram, at Reyna Joy Banks on Twitter and Facebook. The company one is at FHGENT on all social media handles. And our new one, at To Live, which is our new nonprofit where we're purchasing homes, starting in California. One will be in Atlanta next for artists to create, to literally be cultivated, connected, create, and catapulted. That is at To Live, the number two, then LIVVD, three Vs. And that's on the same all social media handles as well. And that website will be coming soon. And on there, you can also donate if you want to give for us to be able to purchase the first house as well.
That is awesome. And Reyna, what we're going to do to make sure, because you've got several things going on, and I know that people listening, they may be listening online, we're going to go ahead, if you send me that information, those handles and the sites, we'll go ahead and link that to our page so that we can let people know what you're doing. I'd like to share a special thank you for joining us, and I want to just share with the listeners a few of the nuggets that I took away, one of which you said, I am nothing without God, and that was the center and the core of who you are and who you were at the time. You said that you decided you wouldn't compromise Christ in your pursuit of doing what it is you were called to do. You said yes to God, and you said no to hell. And that's one of those statements that I believe all of our listeners need to know, when to say yes to God and no to hell, because the wages of sin are death, and there's always going to be a cost or a price for the sins that we actually commit or the disobedience that we actually perpetrate. And also, you said when you were on the set, you wanted to know who you could help. How many times have people went on to a movie set or asked God to give them a role in a film or a TV show or some project, and they're thinking about, God, what do you have for me? What am I going to get out of it? Let me meet this person, or let me be catapulted to this. But your question wasn't, who can you meet? Your question wasn't, who can help you? Your question became, who can I help? You wanted to take some time away and actually get into the hearts of people so that you can take the weight off of them in order to remove that burden and give them your love or give them the light of Christ. Now, that's when God knows that he can use you, and that's when he knows that he'll use you again and again and again. And then you also talked about FHG, and I referenced legacy, because you said you wanted to teach others. You said you wanted to teach others in the industry, and you wanted to help them live a life so that they wouldn't have to struggle anymore. Now, what I also heard was you said you used your own money. Now, the beautiful thing about that nugget is some people are sitting in bondage waiting for somebody to pay for them to do the thing that God called them to do. And if they would just show up, walk out the door, or take the first step, Daddy would then deposit what they needed into them or allow somebody to seed into them to the point that the thing that they've been wanting to accomplish would already be paid for in full, because that's the way that our Daddy does it. Before he gives the vision, there's always a provision. And sometimes you get a vision and you don't know anything but just enough light for the step you're on. But if you keep on walking and you keep on being obedient, Daddy will begin to show you who's going to bless you and how you're going to get the finances. And then I want to end up with this. One of the things you talked about was out of obedience. You said, what else do you want to do? There were sets of questions. What are you fighting for, I believe, and what's keeping you from doing it, and what else do you want to do? Out of obedience, you said, I didn't want the artist to have any more struggling. I wanted to be the answer for God's people. Yeah. And this is the nugget that I want you listeners to hear, the major part of this conversation. If you get nothing else, write this down. When you realize that whatever it is that you were pregnant, whatever problem you're pregnant with, God has already given birth to the solution, then you'll actually see miracles manifest in motion. She allowed a miracle to manifest in motion because she became the answer to the problem by allowing God's will and God's light and God's gift to shine forth to the point that they pointed away.
way or showed forth like a GPS the direction that other artists should go. And when you start selflessly doing things, when you start removing yourself from the equation and allowing God to shine forth, he will bless you. He will bless your life. Now, we pray today that you're blessed beyond measure. If you'd like to keep up with me or follow me on social media, I can be reached at Maura Gale. That's at M-A-U-R-A-G-A-L-E. My website is MauraGale.com. I also have a book, Beyond Blessed, a CD, Ear Candy, both available on the website, MauraGale.com. Raina Joy, you've been a blessing. Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to season the atmosphere, continue to touch this young lady's life so that she'll go beyond her wildest imagination and beyond her dreams so that she can be a testimony to how if your life is surrendered to the Savior, to the Father, that you will touch it and you'll do things beyond her imagination. We bless you, Father God. We thank you. We trust you. We love you. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. We pray and say amen. And good night, listeners. I know we ran a little long tonight, but it was worth it. It was worth it. To God be the glory, Raina. You take care of you.
Thank you. You too, my dear.
You got it, gorgeous. Bye.
Okay, love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you more. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to, so we want you to set your dial.